Shukran, it's a rather important question. Even on hindsight, I am myself astonished that it occurred at such an early point in my life. The fact that I was born on the 12th of December 1945 had something to do with it. The entire social, cultural, political and economic milieu of the time played an important role in that, because the Second World War had just ended in November 1945. So I was born a month later. And during the Second World War, about 56 million people plus minus had been killed. The majority of them had been civilians. Now obviously all people in the world had become affected by it, including the people in South Africa. And South Africans had fought in the war against Nazism. And in fact, one of the stories told by our uncles and people that fought in the war was when they asked their colonial masters, the British in this case, who had controlled South Africa since 1804, why is it that you are opposed to Hitler? So they said, well, Hitler wants to control the whole of Europe, including Britain. So they said, well, what's wrong with that? The reason for that question is because Britain was controlling South Africa and Rhodesia and Botswana and Swaziland, Lesotho. Okay. So the reply the colonial masters gave the soldiers was that Germany for the Germans and England for the English. And then the question, of course, cropped up, why not Africa for the Africans? So if they were sacrificing their lives to protect their colonial masters, why shouldn't they sacrifice their lives in order to protect themselves and their own country? And that became an important argument from the soldiers who came back after the Second World War. And I think that's very important. The fact that Hiroshima and Nagasaki had also occurred, where 150,000 odd people were killed within a few seconds, also made it a devastating impact on the intellectuals in our communities. And I suppose the same happened with my parents, the dissident infants. So I was fortunate enough to have grown up in an Islamic environment, and where the principles of truth, honesty and sincerity were the most important principles that were being taught. So when the Pan-Africanist Congress called for an anti-pass campaign in 1960, they had a campaign to sign up Africans all over the country. And within a space of 1 year, from 1959 to 1960, the Pan-Africanist Congress signed up 100,000 members as subscribers. Now, never in the political history of any country have I seen a political phenomenon of that nature. But of course, the Africans, what are called the black indigenous Africans, were carrying passes, whereas the so-called coloureds and Indians and whites did not carry passes. So this was a badge of slavery. But because our parents interacted with Africans on the building sites, in the factories, they did all the menial work. They used to deliver the milk, sell the newspapers, act as labourers on the building sites, and worked in the gold and coal mines. And job reservation actually allocated certain jobs to certain racial groups. For example, jobs like being train drivers and bus conductors and bus drivers was reserved for whites. And an African could not become an artisan neither electrician, a plumber, a painter, a bricklayer, a plasterer. And that type of discrimination was obvious. Of course, also the Immorality Act, so-called Immorality Act, prevented people from marrying, as they called it, across the racial lines. Whereas in my family, both my grandmothers from my mother's side and my father's side were African women. So it made no sense to us. This was utterly ridiculous. So I assume that the rebellion was there before I was even born. As one judge said to another person, Lizo, an African revolutionary, that you drank politics from your mother's breast. I can only assume the same happened to me. I think that explains. And then also, you can't go through primary school and secondary school without being influenced by political discussions in the classroom. You read South African literature and there's reference to Baas, which means boss or the oppressor, the ruler, and the teachers will draw your attention to that. Or words that we use to insult Africans, the word Kaffir, and the teachers will tell us, please delete that word and put the word man in there instead of referring to human beings in the derogatory sense. All of that obviously helped us to cope with this indoctrination which was in place of so-called education.